International TV Distribution Hall of Fame. Carlos Barba used his Midas touch to elevate the business of show to an art form. By Dom Serafini. When Carlos became president of Venevision International in 1991, the first thing he told me, as the company's sales executive, is still ingrained in my brain. Remember, you are in show business. No show, no business. Recalled veteran international TV distributor Cesar Diaz of 7A Media from his Miami, Florida home base. Indeed, the Cuba-born 82-year-old Carlos Barba has had the show ingrained in his own brain from an early age. Not yet tired of the entertainment business after 61 years, he now runs UnoDosTres.com, an internet television network company not from Miami in West Palm Beach, Florida. Last year, he launched the subscription VOD service VioNet for Spanish-speaking audiences in the U.S. and Puerto Rico. And in 2007, he founded Spanish-language TV network Caribe Vision. Throughout his career, Barba has worked as a broadcaster for 8 TV stations, producer, content distributor, TV ad sales rep, Netspan, and internet TV pioneer, almost always with the title of president, in Havana, Cuba, Caracas, Venezuela, San Juan, Puerto Rico, Miami, Florida, Englewood and Teaneck, New Jersey, and in New York City before settling back to Miami and now West Palm Beach. Plus, he has been associated with such entertainment leaders as Guar Mestre, Norman Lear, Jerry Parencio, Gustavo Cisneros, Peter Bottomé, Emilio Carazaga Milmo, and famous corporate raider Saul P. Steinberg. And if all that weren't enough, Barba has had a leading role in every development of Hispanic television in the U.S. Even back in Cuba in 1955, when in a chartered Cubana Airlines DC-3 airplane, Barba and some technicians flew in a circular pattern between Key West, Florida and Havana to pick up and rebroadcast America's World Series baseball games to an avid Cuban TV audience. His friend and fellow Cuban veteran TV executive, Alexander Fiore, recalled, "The airplane took off a half hour before the game and remained in the air for 3 hours. The first satellite TV link took place in 1962 between the U.S. and Europe. And everything was always done with flair," recalled Marcel Vine Sr., who first met him later on in 1993, when Barba was running Channel 41, Univision, and Vine represented Mexico's Televisa, a Univision partner. Barba was successful perhaps because he loved to see his name everywhere. "In this business, you have to make things appear bigger than they actually are," continued Diaz, relaying what Barba told him during their first meeting. And he's not too bashful to trumpet his achievements, ready to email a PowerPoint presentation titled "The Midas Touch of Carlos Barba" to whomever requests to know how he increased the value of the TV properties he managed, well before now President Donald Trump's 2011 book titled "The Midas Touch." To Barba, succeeding in show business meant utilizing whatever hype was available. But in his case, the reality reflected the hype and vice versa. But he also has had other qualities, one of which was expressed in a speech at Princeton University Graduate School, October 11, 2008. "You must think and feel about your future not as a distant time from today, but as happening right now," he said, although he credits his daughter Maria, who wrote that speech for him. However, during an interview with this journalist, Barba said that at night he always dreams about the future and never worries about the present. He also did not recall any real challenges throughout his career. "I was always prepared," he said. Barba's skill as a showman, with a flair for business, surfaced when, in 1953, as a part-time waiter in a Miami restaurant, he convinced the owner to hire a piano player and also promoted himself as a joke-telling master of ceremonies to an Anglo audience, alternately changing jackets and waiting on tables. With this dubious experience under his belt, he returned to Cuba and managed to persuade his family and friends that he was in show business. However, his relatives continued to see him as the black sheep. He was expected to follow the tradition of a family that claimed 18 doctors and to ultimately take over his father's pharmaceutical manufacturing business. but he left Cuba's Villanova University to become a second baseman for the Lakeland, Florida Pilots, a farm baseball team for the Washington Senators. After 2 years, a promising career was cut short by a shoulder injury. Nevertheless, once back in Cuba at age 21, he was able to sell his show business skills to Cuban broadcasting pioneer Guar Mestre Espinoza, who hired him as on-air talent. Mestre was the owner of CMQ-TV, then one of four of Havana's TV stations. Commercial television was introduced in Cuba in 1950, and 3 years later, when Barber returned to Havana, his family was one of the country's few owners of a TV set. That beautiful part of my life came to an end in 1959 with the arrival of the Castro regime, recalled Barba in a 1985 interview with Video Age conducted by Edmund M. Rosenthal, then the magazine's editor. For the Hall of Fame feature, this journalist has taken parts of that interview, which recounted his early life, and met with him last January at a West Palm Beach restaurant near his apartment, from where he proudly said, "We can see U.S. President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago mansion." In 1961, Barba caught a boat to Caracas, Venezuela, putting all his money into an elegant wardrobe. But after disembarking, he found someone had switched luggage contents with him, and all he had was two ill-fitting Spanish suits. "From that day on," said Barba, "I have never taken another ship." In 1961, Venezuela was a favorite destination for many Cuban refugees before heading to the U.S., including the late actor Manolo Cuego, who was called the Marlon Brando of Cuba. In Caracas, Barba worked for three different television stations. During that time, he also turned to comedy writing while living in a bohemian-style boarding house with a funeral parlor downstairs. His third station job in Caracas for CVTV, then owned by CBS, Time Incorporated, and Venezuelan Peter Bottomé's RCTV, brought him through the positions of production manager, station manager, and general manager. Barba managed to move the station's ratings from number 3 in a 3-station market to number 1. Similar successes came in Puerto Rico, putting WRIC-TV, then owned by United Artists, on the air, and, in 1968, he took WAPA-TV, then owned by Columbia Pictures, from number 3 to number 1 in 3 months. Originally, WRIC-TV and WAPA-TV were owned by the same company. Programming changes had a lot to do with his successes, but station promotion also played a heavy role. One of Barba's key promotional considerations had been to use airtime properly. In 1970, Columbia Pictures brought Barba to the U.S. mainland, positioning him at its WNJU-TV, Channel 47 in Linden, New Jersey. At that time, he said, it had no promotion, a weak sales structure, and the programming was a mix like a fruit cocktail, a little bit of everything, but nothing to create a habit. Starting as a consultant, he moved into the general sales manager role and in 1974 became president. In his first month on the job, Barba brought in $1.6 million in ad revenue, $10 million in today's dollars, compared to the station's $1.2 million over the entire previous year. In 1984, the new owners of WNJU-TV, the station was acquired by Jerry Parencio and Norman Lear in 1979, and KSTS in San Jose, California, owned by National Group Television, formed Netspan, which sold to U.S. advertisers the Hispanic market on a national network level. By 1986, in addition to managing WNJU-TV, Barba became executive vice president of Embassy Performing Arts, a Spanish-language production and distribution subsidiary of Norman Lear's and Parencio's Embassy Pictures, plus he ran Netspan. At the same time, Barba was working on some pilots for U.S. television in his spare time, hoping to show his boss, Norman Lear, another facet of his abilities. The title of one of his scripts was The American Dream. Meanwhile, two corporate telenovelas were taking place in the Hispanic TV world, with Barba always in the middle of the unfolding drama. In 1986, Saul Steinberg and Harry Silverman acquired John Blair & Company, which in Puerto Rico owned WKAQ-TV, at that time branded as Telemundo Canal 2. Ironically, Telemundo was the brand name of Cuba's CMBA TV, Canal 2 established in 1953 and later affiliated with the CBS TV network. Steinberg and Silverman also purchased WNJU-TV in 1986, and the following year the owner decided to rebrand WNJU's Netspan, which was in effect a TV network, as Telemundo. When Steinberg and Silverman bought WNJU-TV from Prudencio and Lear for $75 million, Barba's 5% stake in the station netted him $3.75 million. In 1989, Barba became Telemundo's senior vice president of programming and promotions and a board member of the Telemundo Group. He remained with Telemundo until 1991, when he joined Gustavo Cisneros's Venevision International as president of the content distribution company. Let's move now to a parallel development with competing Hispanic TV network Univision, which was created in 1987, the year after the Spanish international network, CIN, was sold to a group headed by Hallmark Cards. CIN was formed in 1963 as a sales representative for a group of U.S. TV stations that included KWEX and KMEX. It was the first TV network in the U.S. to broadcast in a language other than English. CIN's founders, Emilio Azcárraga Vidarreta of Telesistema Mexicano, that later became Televisa, René Anselmo, and Emilio Nicolás Sr., had originally acquired San Antonio's KWEX in 1961 and Los Angeles's KMEX in 1962. In 1968, the partnership also acquired WXTV, Channel 41 in Paterson, New Jersey, which was later managed by Barba. But due to U.S. foreign TV ownership restrictions, in 1986, Televisa's interest in CIN's TV stations had to be acquired by American entities, such as the Hallmark Group, which in 1987 also purchased the CIN network and renamed it Univision. Televisa, which since 1972 had been under Azcárraga Vidarreta's son Emilio Azcárraga Milmo, was contracted to provide programming. In 1992, Prudencio, Televisa's Azcárraga Milmo, and Venevision Cisneros purchased the Univision network from the Hallmark Group. In 1993, Prudencio called Barba to serve as general manager of Univision's New Jersey's WXTV Channel 41 station. When former Chilean actor Joaquin Blaya resigned as Univision's president, Prudencio appointed Barba as president and COO. Blaya was then hired by Telemundo to serve as its president. Barba's mandate was to turn around the operations of the station group, including the network's flagship station, KMEX, in Los Angeles, which generated a large portion of the company's revenue. Under Barba, KMEX became the first Spanish-language television station ever to outperform English-language network stations. In 1996, Barba went back to Puerto Rico to, once again, manage WAPA TV, which at that time was owned by Pegasus Broadcasting, for just 1 year before returning to Miami to run ad sales rep Petri Latino. When New York-based Marlin Entertainment and Miami-based Netspan acquired Petri Latino from Petri Television, Barba became co-chairman of the new entity named Netspan Latino. Just as he's not bashful about his Midas touch, Barba is equally enthusiastic about his daughters Maria and Carolina working with him. After graduating from American University in Washington, D.C. in 1997, Maria went to work for her father, who was then at Univision. She followed Barba in 1991, when he became president of Gustavo Cisneros's Venevision International in Miami and was head of marketing and public relations. In addition, when, in 1999, Barba went solo and founded Uno Dos Tres, one of the first internet TV companies, Maria joined her father as promotion manager. When Barba founded Spanish-language TV network Caribe Vision in 2007, he gave Carolina a job hosting a half-hour entertainment show. In 1992, the Cuban TV organization exhibiting at Meep TV, a market he's attended from the beginning up until recently, invited him to Havana to negotiate a package of Cuban baseball games to be sold in the U.S. That was the first time he'd returned to Cuba. This has been International TV Distribution Hall of Fame, Carlos Barba, by Dom Serafini.